Well, I think there's only one place to go from here. On to Tales of the Stupid!
Yes, once again, we defy convention by calling other people stupid, despite who we have in the room. Which means these people are more stupid than we are. The following people are dangerous. Unfortunately, we cannot show you their pictures because it's radio. If you haven't figured that out, you may be one of these people. Your name has been changed to protect you, even though you're not innocent. But trust me, you're up here.
All right.
Stupid. Do you want to, you and me will do the joint?
Yeah. Me and Mr. Safe Word about almost 3 weeks ago now.
Pretty close.
Had probably the most fucked up incident I have ever experienced. Wow. So it's late at night. I'm at the site that I work at, and Mr. Safe Word got bored at his site and drove over to see me.
It was a scheduled check. I was staying on my site and not doing anything wrong. And I want a coffee.
So he comes over, and we're sitting there, we're talking. All of a sudden, I'm kind of see something over his shoulder, and I'm like, what the hell's that? He's like, what? That. See this guy over there, and he looked weird, and he is running out of the well, we don't do it, so I don't mind saying it, the Shoppers Drug Mart, which is open 24 hours. And he's running down the road, and he turns, and he runs all the way back. And then he turns, and he runs away again. And I'm like, what the fuck? Safe Word's like, he didn't even see what
no,
I was saying.
I didn't see it at first because he was, I don't know.
And finally I pointed him out to him and you're like, what the fuck is he doing? And so I'm like, let's go
so
take...
So he's just running back and forth in front of Shoppers.
No. Like we're talking like halfway down the parking lot and then turning around and then running all the way back and down the...
And he wasn't on fire.
And down the meridian that's in the middle. And I'm like, what the fuck? And so me and Safe Word get out. We walk over and we're walking over and all of a sudden I see... He looks really fucking weird. His shoulders are like, honestly, he's like a foot high shoulder pad on each side. And I'm thinking, what the fuck? And there's something hanging down from his ass. I'm trying to figure out what the fuck is going. And he's on his phone and he's like just running back. And all of a sudden he sees us and he turns and he takes it off across the fucking parking lot. And he goes running and we see a cop car pull in. Cop car is just cruising along. All of a sudden hits its lights. And goes squirming over and cuts the guy off. And the guy just puts his hands up. And so at this point, we're not running anymore. We're like, what the fuck is going on? So we're walking over there. And finally, the cop is like, yeah, get off the fucking phone. Get in the fucking car. And so the guy sits down. And I'm looking at him. He's something weird. And here comes it's another guard we work with. But he's working over at Shoppers this evening. And he's got this guy... By the backpack, and he is walking him down, duck walking his ass towards the cop, and he's got these huge brown furry shoulder pads on with fur off of them, huge long brown costume for his entire body, with a tail hanging down, claws on his hands and feet, and something in his hand, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? All of a sudden, I get a look at what the hell's in his hand. It is a werewolf mask.
But this was like no ordinary like cheap costume.
No, this was
really,
like a professional
like
level
movie quality makeup.
Makeup werewolf mask. We're talking like The Howling. Yeah. Dog Soldiers, if you've ever seen that movie.
Great
we're,
movie
best
by the way.
Great movie.
There is they kind of no look spoon. Like they kind of look like the underworld
Lucans.
Yeah,
Lycans.
Yeah.
Lycans and I'm like, "What the fuck?"
Oh, and by the way, this is in like April.
April. Yeah, this is April. This is April. And it's like 4 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, okay?
I'm waiting to hear what they were charged with. I mean,
just wait for
besides
it. So,
2 counts of werewolves.
So the cop, yeah, they both of them are wearing full body werewolf costumes. At which point the cop puts the second one in the car, gets on the radio, goes, yeah, two idiots in custody. And I'm like, what happened? Now, the other guard says, our werewolves are back. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Back in September last year, these two guys had gotten a couple of studio-quality werewolf costumes and were going around scaring the crap out of any business that was open after midnight. They ran through the store at Shoppers. They ran through a supermarket that is open till midnight. They ran through a Tim Hortons and actually jumped the counter at the Tim Hortons.
Yeah, not only in the Tim Hortons, but into the back room of the Tim Hortons.
Scaring one of the girls that worked there so bad she quit. So at the time, finally, the cops ran them down, figured out who they were, and told them that if you do this again, if we see you in this costume before Halloween night, you're going to be charged with mischief. Nope. No, apparently this did not get through. So April, which apparently is the month for werewolves, they went out and were running through and actually were walking up and down the aisles at the Shoppers, scaring the crap out of a couple of customers and the staff that were in there. One of them realized when one of the girls went in the back and, you know, screamed for the cops. Another one went and got the security guard who was on his break. He came out and went after the one who apparently had no idea this was going on and was just walking up and down the aisles and busted him. So he didn't put up too much of a fight. And they called the cops. And so the cops got there, busted the two of them. Cops charged them with mischief, drunk and disorderly, drunk in a public place. And I'm not certain about this, but I think that said today. Yeah. Oh, you $2. said that the possession was also there. The guy had some weed on him type thing.
Probably so. Because...
Well, I'd imagine.
Well, the funny thing was...
Among other things.
Good shit, too. When they were walking back, one of them looked at me and said my name in this very pitiful voice. And I was like, how the hell does he know me? I was actually a little freaked out. And I went to school with both of them. Oh. Yeah, and it shows the kind of quality of people I went to school with. And yes, they were probably the... They were never there because they were in the back of the school in a haze of fog and smoke and pot, acid, ecstasy, and probably what other shit they can snort up their fucking nose.
It's not your fault that every generation gets dumber and more diluted.
Yeah, no wonder you dropped out.
No,
were they wearing the costumes when they were going to school?
No, they hadn't gone that creative yet.
Silver bullets.
Well, that was it. So I turned to the cop and I said, and they were talking about just, and the cop is, I really don't know how to deal with people this stupid. Because he's telling us about how they had given them the warning back in September. They'd already been caught doing this, and they'd been given a full, fair warning. And the cop is, I don't know how to deal with people this stupid. And I'm like, I have a suggestion. And the cop looks at me, and he immediately gets his hand. Mr. Safeword put his hand in his face. Before I had even said anything, because he knew it was coming, right? And I said, may I suggest a silver bullet? And it's like the cop laughs, and it was like, I said, even if they're not werewolves, it'll solve our problems.
And in my furry defense, I do not associate with these people. These are the type of idiots that give furries the world over a bad name. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The best furries are the furries you never see.
Right now, I'm wearing leopard skin underwear.
Again, images I don't even buy.
Careful.
Well, you know, if, kid, if you didn't want to see Dak in his leopard skin underwear, you shouldn't have come. I mean, he's been sitting there like that all this time.
Yeah, we are at his house, you know.
Rower.
Holy fuck!
That was Kid Tommy, not the chick.
Okay. How the hell did you do that?
So like a hyena being raped by a chipmunk or something.
Don't turn me on.
I don't know. First thing that came to my mind.
Chipmunk rape is the first thing that comes up.
No, unfortunately, chipmunk raping a hyena. That's what he said.
And then I got a... How the fuck would a hyena rape a chipmunk?
I don't know.
Would it be the other way around?
How would a unicorn fist a kitten?
I don't know.
What the fuck?
Oh, you missed that show.
Yeah, you missed that.
You'll catch up.
You'll catch up eventually.
All right, should we go to Cave Troll next? Go around the room.
All right. I've got two short ones, because they're both short, so I'm going to do two. Okay. The first one is we were working out at a bar in Abbotsford. For those of you who don't know Abbotsford, thank yourself.
Yeah.
and me and another guy, he's not really important to this, but me and another guard were sitting at the door.
Was it VD or?
No. It was
Leprechaun?
Yeah, it was Leprechaun.
Okay.
And this guy walks up, and he's like shiny silk shirt, kind of gold chain.
Shiny sheet.
Very, like, he had that suave Puerto Rican Hispanic slick back hair kind of.
We
walk to him.
The world.
Oh, he was smothered in like Don. What's the
Dequar Don Noir
and Date Rape. And he comes up to me and I'm like, I'm sorry, sir. We have a line, and a cover charge. You're gonna have to wait in line so that you can get in. And he's like, but I'm Esposito. let me check the guest list. Nope. And the thing is the guest list at that bar consisted of a blank piece of paper that I could consult when an idiot came up to me. So that I could turn them away without, you know, having to actually punch them in the face. So I consult my blank piece of paper and, you know, there it is. No Esposito. So I go, I'm sorry, sir, but I'm afraid you're going to have to wait in line. And he's like, but I'm Esposito. Esposito doesn't wait in lines. Esposito goes where Esposito wants to. So
are you really talking about yourself in the third person?
No, I'm like, okay.
Brain hurting.
I look to Leprechaun, okay? Because in 10 years of bouncing, I've never. And he's no help because he's already on the ground. Like, literally, he's taking a knee. He's taking a knee. He's praying. And he's either hoping the Green Bay Packers are going to win or he's fucking laughing at me.
Maybe this was Esposito's plan. I'll make them laugh at me so hard they won't be able to stop me.
So eventually, I lose it. I'm like, look, Esposito, let me break it down.
Are you sure
for
that
you.
Was his name?
I at this point, I don't give a shit. It's something to call him other than fuckwad. Look, go wait in line. It's 20 minutes out of your life, and then I don't have, you know, and I don't. I'm not here to insult the great Esposito, but you're gonna have to wait just like the other 20-30 people here. Okay? And they're all like, yeah, Esposito, get in line.
See, everybody knew him. He's right.
But no, he carries on. He's like, well, fuck you. What's your name? What's your name? And, you know, blah, 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 blah. And we're like, okay, well, Esposito, thanks for coming out. Take a walk and go fuck yourself. And he wanders away, but he wanders off and then comes back and gets in the back of the line. And Leprechaun points this out, and I'm like, okay, all right. And so he waits about 30 minutes, he gets to the front of the line. I'm like, hey, Esposito, how's it going? He's like, and I'm like, yeah, I'm afraid you can't come in. And no shit, his response is, but I'm Esposito. and of course, Leprechaun is now left. He's gone inside. He's left me out here by myself with Esposito. And I don't know what to do because I think this guy's actually handicapped now. And I don't like beating up like medically stupid people. Like, I think
Common Garden variety stupid people, that's fine. But medically stupid people, you gotta drop
this guy. I think there's actually something wrong with him, and I think he's like autistic or retarded or something. And I don't know. I'm like,
hey, he was
where
not
is
autistic.
Your nurse, Esposito?
He was Esposito.
Like, do you know where you live, Esposito? I can get you a ride back to where you live. And eventually he just stomps off. And then that was the last I've seen of Esposito. I hope he made it back to the hospital okay. And then so we spent the rest of the shift, me and Leprechaun, every time someone asked us a question, we'd just turn and go, I'm Esposito. Like, hey, where do you want this stool moved? Esposito does not worry about stools. Esposito is above your stool. Take your stool away from Esposito. It offends me.
Ah, oh, that's magic, which if you listen last week, you know you're talking about.
The other story really quickly
I was just going to mention a story because I had something very similar happen. I only worked that bar maybe 5 times, and I had almost the exact same thing, not the Esposito, but almost. I'm standing there, this woman walks up to me, and she's like, can I get in? And I'm like, sure, ma'am, the line's right there. And she's like, no. And I'm like, no. She's, yeah, I'm not going to wait in line. No, I'm afraid these people have been waiting in line. You're going to have to wait in line too. And she looks at me and she's, but I'm cute. And I went, I'm sure you're very nice, but the line's right there. And those people have been waiting a long time too. You're going to make me stand in line? I'm not going to make you stand in line. But if you want to get in, that's how it works. So she finally, like, looks over and, you know, I kind of, like, look away for a half a second to deal with, I think I was I talking to you at the time?
I think so, yeah, you were talking to me at the time.
So I turn away for a second, I look back, and she's now snuck up to almost the front of the line. And I'm like, excuse me, but these people have been waiting. I think they want you to go to the back. They're not going to make me go to...
stand there.
They're not going to make me go to the back. Well, and I'm like, well, if they're not, I am. You have a choice. You can either get to the rear of the fucking line or you can get the fuck out because I've had it with you. Well, fuck
but
you.
I'm
never coming here again. This place sucks. Aldergrove is a piece of shit. And I'm like, honey, your Surrey is showing. Please go home. Now, I said that one so that you could mention something you mentioned about Surrey.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, this was about, I don't know, about a year ago. I was talking to this lady at the bar. And, I mean, she seemed honest enough. She didn't seem like no bullshitter. She had just come back from Italy. She was at a bar with a bunch of guys. They were chatting her up. They were being all nice. They asked her where she was from. And she said, Surrey. And they're like, BC, Canada? She's like, yeah. And they looked at her and said, have a good night, and walked away. Now, people in Italy know how fucked up Surrey is. I don't know how or why, but they do.
Sorry, I had introduced.
Oh, that's fine.
I had introduced because I knew it would set up for that story. So go on to your second one.
Okay, this happened when I was like 16, 17. Okay, a group of us went up to Maple Ridge near the Twin Peaks there. Where the river is,
yeah.
And we were all just hanging. We weren't even drinking. We was just like a group of about 8 or 10 of us, and we were all just hanging out, okay. And some of us were a couple. My buddy had just started engineering school. He just graduated the year before. He was 19, and he started engineering school at UBC or not UBC. What's
SFU?
No, BCIT.
Oh.
And so. He was going on about all the stuff he'd learned in physics and thermodynamics and all this kind of stuff. And he's like, you know what? I know how to build a kiln. I know how to, and I looked this up. And we actually got out, we got river stones, and we built a kiln. Okay?
This cannot end well.
I mean, and it had a roof.
I'll wait for it.
It had a roof and everything. We had a central stone in the middle of it that we had properly packed the fuel. We had a chimney system that actually was like a full like L-shaped chimney system to it that actually had a
Did
draw.
You just pile I know this is my Captain Planet speaking, but did you actually pile the stones or did you cement them?
We actually filled with river sand.
Okay, so you just packed. Okay.
What we did is we built the stones, we piled the stone structure and had a roof on it, and then we actually just put sand on top of it to insulate.
Okay, all right.
So it was buried in a pile of sand with an opening, and it actually had a positive draw in the opening hole and out the chimney.
It had
a flue system.
Yeah.
Okay, and it got to the point where we had it hot enough, and it took us 3 hours to heat the thing up by introducing fuel and getting the air mixture right so it could constantly fed itself. We could throw a penny in on the center stone and watch it melt in 30 seconds.
Wow.
Yeah, I've seen that.
That's what we had. That we were just like nerdy kids hanging out at the and I'd like to point out that no, you could actually touch the outside sand on the side, not on the top. But there's no point in any sparks are going to get into. We were 100 yards from a tree line. We were in, and it wasn't even a sand beach. It was a rock beach on the side of a river. Okay. So after we were having our fun, the park ranger shows up in his truck.
Ranger Ricky?
I don't know. But he comes down and he's screaming at us. You can't have a fire! You can't have a fire! What are you doing? You're going to burn everything down. Like, he's literally screaming, you fucking kids! Get off there! And he's like, put that out! And he brings down two fucking buckets. And he's like, put it out! And we're like, no. And you don't want to do that. And he's like, no, you're going to put it out now or I'm going to call all your parents. And I'm like, well, first of all, I'm not giving you my numbers. I don't know how you know my parents. Second of all, you don't want to pour water on that. And he's like, fine, I'll do it myself. Go up near my truck.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
And he goes to the river and my, we'll call him,
I think Barney is pretty appropriate for this guy.
Yeah. Well, no, my buddy was the engineer.
Oh, okay. An engineer.
Dr. Evil.
Yeah. No, we used to call him the Mad Bomber.
Yeah.
But he's like, we're got to go farther away, guys. Let's go up. We're going to be behind his truck.
Yeah, because he could kill himself right now. And we
tried telling him, you don't want to do that. So he gets a bucket of river water, and he comes back and he throws it on the kiln. It's dry. Water doesn't even hit the thing. There's steam and nothing. He goes and gets another bucket, throws it on. Steam. Rocks are dry. He does this for like an hour.
He is so lucky that none of the stones burst.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's just it. Well, we were sitting there because we're like, oh, I hope none of those are lava rocks. Like, I hope none of it is like porous rocks because that's going to fucking explode.
Limestone would have blown.
Yeah. Eventually it cools down because we hadn't been feeding it any fuel for about an hour before the Rangers showed up. But literally the first bucket of water, it was instantly steam when it got to like within like 3 inches of the kiln, the top of the kiln. And so he's just, it's fucking, because he's just running back, getting more water, he's like, what the fuck? he was the most confused, like, said, monkey I have ever seen.
Yeah. He was having an emotional response to the facts
made no sense. Water, fire out.
he was the adult that all the teenagers talk about, that, you know, that thinks you're stupid because you're young.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't functioning on all cylinders.
No.
It's like, no, I know we're teenagers, but we didn't make up the laws of thermodynamics. Okay? I'm pretty sure there's a textbook somewhere where it's written down that you don't have to take our word for it. So yeah, that's my stupid adult. For all you teenagers listening to the show. Yeah. Oh, I feel your pain.
Well, they're all sitting there going, I never built a kiln on a beach. What's this guy talking about?
Right now, somebody is looking up plans for it. And you know who you are.
We didn't have plans.
You can laugh all you want.
And now all the park rangers who are listening to this are shaking their heads and putting a gun in their mouth.
I hope my story didn't try putting a gun in their mouth.
They were doing that way before they heard
I think there's something else going on in their life before they heard my story.
Yeah. 200% sexy projectile vomit man back from the What the Hell show. We went camping. We made the mistake of bringing him camping with us. And he managed to get the fire, like, he just stoked it and actually did a draw just with the wood, so that the wood on the outside was acting like a draw.
Yeah.
We didn't get to the point where the penny melted inside of 30 seconds. It took about 5 minutes for a penny to actually melt. But we would throw tin cans in there, and they would collapse and run with inside of 15 seconds.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and that was just with wood. He actually managed
to make... You can't do it with just a normal fire, but if you can get a draw going in, like if you can get a draft, you get the oxygen in there, fire is fun.
Yeah. And now I will smelt a sword. Clang, clang.
All right, who's next?
Me? Okay. My story is...
It's fucking awesome is what it is.
It's a little short story, and as you can tell, it's been requested by the cave troll.
Oh, yeah, no, I heard it, and I'm like, yeah, that's it, damn right.
So, I was working at a aforementioned site, actually, that Uncle Dak was working at his story, when I was called to go do another site. It was for a restaurant who was having their staff party. So, essentially...
Wait for it.
Essentially, my job, apparently, was to stand in the parking lot for, I think it was about 3 hours or so, making sure that the staff were not going to drive their cars home, because the restaurant was actually supplying cabs for the entire staff. I mean, they were all there. It was way after hours. I mean, this was... I think I finally got out of there probably around 3 o'clock in the morning. But anyway, they had cabs supplied for them, so nobody had to drive home. I mean, the cabs were being paid for. So there was no reason for anybody to drive home at all.
Other than stupid, I can drive because I'm 10 feet tall and bulletproof.
Wait for it.
Oh, yeah. this is where most of this story actually stems from. So I go relieve the guard that was there, and needless to say, she wasn't too happy that she was there in the first place. And
did she
quite
cackle,
happy to
laugh
leave.
Off and just basically
oh, yeah,
run
quite
off.
Happy to leave. Quite happy to leave. So, I've been there for about a half hour or so when this cruiser comes pulling in. And, of course, you know, the RCMP around here, they're always so happy to share our pain whenever they see us doing something that we particularly don't want to do. I believe the comment that was given to me was, "Whose daughter did you fuck to have to get stuck doing this?" I was like, that's another story. But anyway, actually, this was two weeks prior to my famous car dragging incident that I told on the first show, I believe.
Yeah, the first show, yeah. Where you got dragged by a
where
car.
Where I was dragged, yeah. So anyway, night goes on. I've gone through probably half a pack of cigarettes by this point, but anyway. The staff's all starting to come out now. Okay, so I'm going to be getting out of here real soon. And I get the usual drunk talk coming from anybody who's ever worked at a bar will know this drunk talk. I mean, everybody and their grandmother comes up and starts talking to you because they figure you're a new person to
talk to. Mr. Security Guard.
Yeah.
How's things going?
My personal
They were going great until you pulled up.
Yep. My personal favorite question from any drunk ever. Standing there in full uniform, sometimes with a yellow fucking rain slicker that says the giant word security on the front and back, and someone will go, "Are you a security guard?
Here's your sign."
That's it. No, fuck no. I play one in a movie.
That's what I said. I said, no, I play one on television.
No, actually, the best one for that was, it was Leprechaun, actually. He was wearing his yellow coat, and some kid tried to come up and sell him hash.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. That was so funny.
Hey, he's on the phone with me, right? And we're just, you know, we're bored, so we're just talking to each other on the phone, and I can hear this kid on the other end of the phone, clearly. "Hey, man, you want to buy some hash?" And Leprechaun's like,
"Really?
Hold on for a second. I'm just going to put you on speakerphone."
He wanted you to hear everything.
There has to be witnesses to what followed.
Yeah. And I can't remember exactly what he had said, but he just tore the kid down. But anyway, back to my story.
Yeah, sorry.
So this one particular jackass comes out. I'd say he's probably in his early 20s or so. And he seems to be quite content that he is going to drive home. Him and his friends are going to drive home, no problem, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, you know, technically your manager told me that I'm not supposed to let you guys drive home. I'm like, you got cabs coming. All you have to do is just talk to your manager and he'll get one of the cabs to come down and take you home. Simple enough. He's like, well, man, I could drive home. I'm good. I'm like, okay, well, why don't you go have a talk with your manager, see if he wants you to drive home. And the kid says, well, I don't need to go talk to him. I'm like, okay, tell you what, I'll go talk to him and see if he wants you to drive home. He's like, okay, well, if you go and talk to him, I'm probably not going to be here by the time you get out. I'm like, okay, so that's the game you want to play. I believe it was about a month prior to that, we in our company had gone through our handy dandy handcuff training that they have just put in with us.
Wait,
so,
did you handcuff this kid before?
Wait for it.
Oh, wait for it. Yeah, so I'm wearing my, you know, handy-dandy bat belt with all my little toys on it. So the kid turns to go start to walk away. I'm like, okay, out come the cuffs. One cuff around his right wrist, I believe. And we were conveniently standing right next to a handicap sign that was cemented into the ground. So I slapped the other cuff around the handicap sign. I'm like,
then he went and found his manager.
I'm like, okay, you stay here, I'll go find your manager.
So I go inside. So all the other employees that are coming out of the party are walking past this kid as he's handcuffed to the fucking sign.
He is pulling, like, literally, when I actually unhandcuffed him from the pole, he had a dent in his wrist because he was pulling so hard on the damn thing. But
and they're all standing around laughing at him.
I went into the restaurant, ordered myself a coffee, drank the coffee, then found the manager and came outside. I think I was probably in there for a good 20 minutes or so. But the manager, I'm like, yeah, I got a guy outside. He's, you know, he says he wants to drive home. He's like, well, did you tell him that, you know, we got Kaz coming? I'm like, yeah, but he seems to want to drive home. He's like, well, why did you leave him out there? I'm like, well, he's not going anywhere. what do you mean he's not going anywhere? I'm like, I'll just come outside and have a chat with him. So I get out there. The manager follows me out, sees the kid, and he's screaming at the top of his lungs, trying to get away from this pole, which is, you know, again, cemented to the ground and is not going anywhere.
Logic obviously isn't going through
this. Oh, no, right no, now. No, no logic here.
Once again, when emotion...
while there are about 24 of his staff, his fellow co-workers standing out there laughing at him, I turned to look at the manager, and I didn't see the manager. Then I looked down, and there was the manager on the ground laughing his ass off. So about 5 minutes of that goes by, the manager finally gets his composure, tells me to go, that he'll go have a chat with him. So, yeah, long story short, it was a really interesting night, but it was not this past weekend. It was last weekend. We had a group come in to the bar, and one kid had forgotten his ID.
He was drinking a beer.
He was drinking a beer in the parking lot. Yeah, coming up to the door. But this group, I couldn't put my finger on it, but it wasn't until the one kid who was drinking the beer in the parking lot had mentioned it, that they worked at...
Sorry. You owe
a dollar. I owe a dollar. worked at this restaurant. And he's like, yeah, well, I know that guy over there. I've seen him walking around in that before and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I'm trying to remember, okay, I know where these kids are from. And then it didn't dawn on me until after they were leaving, where this the one kid who would not look me in the face is the kid I handcuffed to the damn handicap sign.
Is he the one that's in there all the time? You got to point him out to make someone laugh in his face.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he's the one that's in there all the time, but he was one of the ones that was with that group.
He's always just a little bit enough of a dick where I can't throw him out, but I really don't like him.
Yeah. Funny enough, there's some nice handicap signs out front.
All right, Malcontent.
Actually, before Malcontent, we'll let Kid Kami go.
Okay.
And then we'll let you go, and then we'll...
Okay, well...
You don't have one? That's okay.
Here's the problem with letting me go. I'm like an American Walmart with instead of bullets, it's stupid stories at the moment. Yeah. I've been trying to keep them all straight in my head. I've got about 30, so...
You did? Okay, good. Pick the best one.
Mix them up.
I'll give you a few titles. You know, you guys choose which one you want.
Okay.
Most interesting Mexican in the world. Speed dressing in Surrey.
What?
Speed
dressing in Surrey? Yeah. That, okay, I'm almost locked onto that one now.
Okay, let's see. What else is there? bus drug deals.
Oh, those actually don't even bother me.
Well, no, this one gets really crazy. This one gets, like, the timing is insane on this one.
You know, hold off on that one. Keep that one in your mind straight, because we'll maybe want it in 2 weeks unless something more pleasant comes in.
Okay. Well, let's go for the speed dressing.
Speed dressing is Surrey. Yeah.
Okay. Now, this isn't my story. This is my girlfriend's story.
Okay.
Now, she went to go visit one of her friends yesterday in New West. So she was waiting at Surrey Central for a while, waiting for everyone to show up, and they would take the train in. And while she was waiting, I was just sitting down, and there was this one guy who was the only other person there sitting off to his left. She looked over once, perfectly normal dress, t-shirt and jeans. She looks back, talks to her friend for a minute, turns back, different outfit. He's got a tank top this time in shorts. So she gets a little confused. Looks back, talks to her friend for a minute, turns back over, and now he's wearing a hoodie and jeans again. And this goes on, again and again and again, for 45 minutes. And every time he is wearing something completely unrelated to what he wore last.
She's sure it's the same person?
Same guy. There was no one else at the depot.
No buses had come in?
No.
Okay. What's the explanation? Did she finally see him changing clothes?
No. There's the timing. Every time she'd look away and look back, it could sometimes just be seconds. Like, she'd look at him, look away, look back, and different shirt, rather than just an entirely different outfit.
There's no other answer to the story.
There is no, I have no idea. She has no idea. None of the people who were there with her had any idea. They look at different times and would never catch him changing.
Did anyone else agree to this?
Yes, they all agreed that he was wearing different things and it was the same person every time.
Okay, wow. I'm going to let you throw out your other story because that one was a lot quicker than I thought. That's not stupid. That's just
strange. Bizarre.
Fucked up.
Somebody call Mulder.
So, most interesting Mexican in the world?
Yeah, no, sure. No. No, the other one.
The drug deals on the...
The drug deal on the bus.
All right.
Okay, so this started off as just a crazy guy. I first thought he was just one of those crazy people who gets on the bus and you feel crazier being around them. But there was more to this. Here's this taller guy, little overweight, hoodie and sweatpants, comes in yelling on his cell phone to somebody. And he's kind of cursing to himself afterwards.
That's always a good sign.
Yeah, about 10 minutes into the bus ride, he ends up calling somebody else. And he just starts, it's an unhappy conversation, then it gets louder and louder, the fucks per minute increase. Until he's just screaming, fuck, fuck, fucker, fucking, fucked me, you fucked, fuck. And this goes on. He's reaching volumes of the bus drivers looking around, figuring, what the hell is going on back
there? Oh God, they're eating each other again.
There are people with their fingers in their ear trying to ignore what's going on. And he is just screaming, fuck, at the top of his lungs for about 10 minutes, 15 minutes. I just turned to him and went, mate, keep it to yourself. He eventually calms down a little bit. Eventually, you know, he kind of comes down. Sorry, brother. I'm sorry about this. Yeah, I know you miss your mom and this kind of stuff. And eventually hangs up and just mumbles to himself. And at this point, she starts apologizing to everyone. This one girl to his left actually engages in a conversation with him. This is where I get...
Dumb fucking idea.
Yeah.
No. I find out she's not the brightest either. And they start having a discussion. Why was he upset? Well, apparently his mom died about 5 years ago, so him and his brother got into the drug trade to, you know, make up for the lost revenue.
In honor of his mom?
Apparently.
All right.
Now, his brother was given a very simple task. He was given $22,000 of hashish and he'll deliver it off at one guy.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah. I can't imagine why he think this was a good idea. And then this one guy sweet talks him to giving it away all for free.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh,
what?
My God.
So he was having an argument with his brother about how he this fat fuck Gary...
Did he at least get a cow or some magic beans? I've heard this story before.
So, he got a card for iTunes.
Yeah, so apparently fat fuck Gary was... This is the term he used for every time he mentioned it was fat fuck Gary. Cost him $22,000, like with his stupid brother. So apparently the cops picked him up afterwards. But of course, he'd already given everything away. He didn't have any money, so he couldn't get him for anything. So, at this point, he just kind of goes, "Oh, thank God for Canada and its cops." And the girl next to him goes, "Oh yeah, because I just sweet talked my way out of a $250 fine for partying too loud and property damage last night."
Oh,
oh my God! So this is stupid, engaging, stupid.
And then her boyfriend gets on the bus.
Oh.
In the full line douchebag hoodie and the baseball cap up really high.
The douche canoe is complete.
It's fully manned now, yep.
All members of the sculling crew have taken their position.
See, I don't have much for Sanders, but I would not
I can't. I can't.
Continue. Please continue, yes.
Okay, so this point starts changing contact information because they figure this guy's going to be a good supplier because he's honest and he's friendly. They won't work with his brother, though, because he's apparently an idiot.
or an easy source of some shit if you need to get it from him.
Really cheap.
Yeah, he was giving off his quotes for his hash prices and his meth prices and his ecstasy prices. And I'm like, if we had a court system that actually worked, I would get you so arrested right now. At this point, I get off the bus and wait for the next one.
Oh, wow.
Kid, there's only one thing to do. Give in to the dark side. Put on the cape, the green tights. You know you want to. You do it. Do it. They call to you. You know they do.
But here's the problem.
God sends them to you to die.
Superheroes don't... I'll get the Rorschach Max and actually start killing them.
I'm strangely fucking comfortable with that.
No, no, no. I'm not on this bus with you. You're on this bus with me.
Well, yeah. Here's the great part.
Besides, Zach mentioned green and purple, which means he wants you to become a super villain. Yes.
The important thing to consider, though, is how I was dressed the entire time. He only calmed down when I yelled at him, but I'm wearing a black trench coat, dress shirt, $500 pants, and a black fedora.
So you look like an Italian hitman.
Yes. For some reason, he had issues making high contact every time I scanned the bus.
Trench coats seem to scare people. I'm going to do a quick one. Me, Mayhem, and Captain Longbeard decided for some reason to go on a road trip. We ended up in a Soyuz, don't ask me how. And somehow, we had
that actually happens quite often.
Yeah, we had all managed to wear trench coats. I don't know.
In a Soyuz?
Yeah, it,
well,
just,
it gets better.
Okay, now, at this time, I had long hair. Captain Longbeard's got long hair and a beard, and Mr. Mayhem just, well, you know, kind of looks like an Italian gangster on.
He looks like a less douchey version of Steven Seagal.
Yeah, pretty much. Anyway, we got there.
Burned out, flaming homosexual Italian gangster.
We got there. For some reason, people weren't too polite to us.
In a Soyuz, you say?
Yeah. Well, it's funny, because they have that big biker thing there once a year. You think people would be a little bit more open to weird-looking people. Apparently not when it's not the biker week. We were walking down the street. There was an old couple coming towards us. They crossed the street and watched us as we walked by. We went through 4 hotels and they wouldn't rent to us. They said they were full. There was nobody in the parking lot. Shit you not. There was like 2 cars there.
Did you take off the coats and then go back and ask for a room?
We got, since I had long hair and so did...
Longbeard.
Longbeard. We kind of looked like scumbags as it was. So we got Mayhem, who looked a little bit less douchey than the rest of us, and we got him to take off his coat, clean up a little bit, button up his shirt. We got a hotel room from, funny enough, an Indian guy, and he sold it to us right away. No, nothing.
Indian by native or East?
No, like an East Indian. I think he said he was from Pakistan or something. He's the happiest guy I'd ever met in my life, too. So either he was high on hash or he's just really happy to see me. I don't know. But we actually got scared because we went to a pub. I got kicked out because, well, I was underage at the time. But anyway.
And in Soyuz, you say. I'm actually surprised.
Yeah, I know. Anyway. But we were walking around the street, and I swear to God, it felt like people were just, like, staring at us. We ended up putting, for some reason,
Longbeard.
Longbeard. Fuck, I keep getting your name. Longbeard had 2 Chennais in the back of his trunk. I don't know why. They're basically those big bamboo practice swords.
Yeah.
He was convinced we were going to get pitchforked and lit on fire. So he stuck them up against, actually locked them into the door. The whole time we were sleeping, because he was actually scared that we were going to get, like, murdered in our sleep. And fucking Soyuz. And then, of course, as we were driving by, I almost lit the whole place on fire, because it was dry season, and I was smoking, and I forgot that you're not supposed to throw butts out the window when it's dry season. So I almost blew up
a
Soyuz.
Yeah, we almost made it left our mark on that town.
But speaking of hotels, now I do have a good stupid story, if it's my turn.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, all right. So, this goes back a couple years, and as you can tell, I am a furry. Woof, grr, wow. Great. Woohoo! So, there's a furry convention in the local area, and...
You gotta speak up.
I'm trying!
Speak up louder! Louder!
Enunciate!
Your muff is in my way.
Okay, just after you're done, I just want to say there's something that just came up on the news I want to mention quickly.
Okay.
Okay.
But go ahead.
All right, okay, so furry convention in Surrey, and of course, Surrey, that's going to be epic, right? They've got the way the place is set up is there's an atrium with a pool and a hot tub, and the rooms are all around the outside of the pool. Beside the pool is an open area where they have buffets, and there's trees, and it smells pretty, and all that. And then the banquet center is upstairs. Guess where all the rooms were that all the furries rented to get into their costumes and then go back afterwards and fuck. All right? Guess where they also booked a wedding.
Oh!
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today before the sight of God and these animals to join this man and this beaver in holy matrimony.
No, I am serious, because this is where it gets good. They actually did have the ceremony in the atrium. So when the group of us are getting ready, and our convention starts at the same time as the wedding. We're all standing behind the bushes going, well, we're not walking outside. It's fucking raining. These are expensive outfits, or the non-expensive outfits would have fallen apart because they were all paper mache. So we had to wait behind the bushes while the ceremony was taking place. Imagine 40 people dressed up as all manners of fucked up, including a guy with a full deer antler rack behind a couple of plastic azaleas.
Those wedding photos must have been awesome.
Epic, epic. So, if anybody can find those, send them to me, please, for the love of God.
Yeah. So finally the ceremony ends, and they do the receiving line where
if
the
bride...
If
you go into the atrium today,
so doing the receiving line, and the bride and groom are, of course, people are walking by, shaking their hand. Oh, we're having a great time. Thank you so much for having us. We figured this was the best time to just cut through.
Make a break for it.
Make a break. Just go. Well, there was
stampede.
There was 40 of us, and that was just a part. Like, there was like 200 of us all together. The people that didn't have hotel rooms were completely oblivious to this. So now you've got a bride and groom who are like, they see the first one, they see the second one, their faces go from pure joy to what the fuck. And then we just ran. So this continues on about 3 years later. Because I never went back to this hotel for the convention again. I thought it was pretty silly. I DJ for a living. I had a wedding there last year. They didn't recognize me, thank God.
Well, you were wearing a costume, so it's...
Well, no, I don't wear a costume. I'm one of those furries that I'm just artistic, and I just want to be pet and snuggled and loved. I don't dress up. But like, yeah, you're right. Yeah, they'll just we'll just leave it at that for now. Yeah, sure. Bullshit. Anyways, so I go down there and I'm doing the wedding, and this one chick gets really drunk, and the wedding ends. And you know how it is, just the same as at a bar when you're at a wedding and people are having a really good time, they don't want to leave.
Yeah.
Play one more song. No. I'll pay you $100. No. I'll pay you $500. Just play Paradise by the Dashboard Light. I love Meatloaf. Oh my God.
You have been designated zombie. You will die.
Okay, I'm going to need $20,000 for Meatloaf. $5,000 would do for, I don't know, Manilow maybe, but $20,000 for Meatloaf.
So I go downstairs to talk to the hotel staff because the guests are kind of getting a little rowdy, and I just wanted to make sure that there was no chance of this being extended. Basically, I was going down there and saying, give me an excuse not to do overtime because this is getting out of hand.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people getting a little too drunk.
Yeah.
So we're talking, and they're kind of giggling about it because they're like, oh yeah, yeah, she's pretty belligerent, eh? And I said, yeah. And they said, is she the one wearing such and such an outfit? And I said, yeah. Oh, she's been in and out of here all night. I'm surprised she's bugging you because she hasn't been in the party all night. She's been trying to sleep with everyone that walks through the door. She's been standing out front, bawling her eyes out, yelling at the moon, laughing. I don't know what she's on, but she's on it. And she's enjoying the ride. So we start giggling about it. And I said, you know, somewhere in the conversation, it just happened to come up. Yeah, it's been a while since I've been here, since that furry convention. And they looked at me and said, what? Yeah, the last time I was here, I was at the furry convention. The one where they booked the wedding. We got so many complaints about that. I said, well, who's in charge of the booking? You idiots. Oh, crap. I'm never hired here again. I'm leaving now. That's it for me.
I guess we've got time for Malcontent to do his.
Real quick, yeah.
Malcontent?
Okay, we'll go back to the hospital for this one.
Yay!
they miss me there.
This was back when I was a little younger, and I have very good posture, and I actually am shaped, even still, I'm actually shaped like the uniforms that were given. So I actually look like I belong in the thing.
so everybody thinks I'm in charge, particularly in the psych ward. And this brings us to our friend George.
Oh God,
George! Yes, this is the my second story about George of the George trilogy. It's the story I think Dak actually thought I was going to tell the first time I told the story about George.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah.
This is the second one. George was involved in the Second World War, or he thinks he was involved in the Second World War. It's hard to tell. He looks old enough that it might actually be true.
Yeah? Hello?
Please tell me who did not listen to
me. You've got to be kidding me.
Really? Hello?
Hello?
Hey.
He's still connected?
The fuck are you? Oh, there you go. Oh,
crap. Whoa, that was great time.
Okay.
So, there's something about George.
Yeah. He may have been involved in the Second World War, and the CIA doesn't want you to know. That's why he was in the mental institution.
He saw things he shouldn't have.
Hey, yes. You were not classified to receive this information. Did-eat.
Wow. That's, like, quick to act on intelligence like that. Yes. Like, they can shut you down.
Aren't live.
So it's not the Canadians, then?
No. Told you, it's the fucking CIA. Yeah, his internet must be down again.
Okay, wait, I'm listening for the black helicopters.
What the fuck? I heard sirens.
What, really?
No, TV upstairs.
We just lost malcontent again.
Yeah, the CIA cut in.
The Weepin' show's probably almost over anyway.
Yeah, I think, unfortunately, what we'll do is we'll just call it and we'll try to get a better connection with Skype for...
Sorry, we're technologically monkeys and can't figure out how to work fucking Skype properly.
It was working properly. I think it's a hardware issue. I think his computer's just...
I think the error is between chair and keyboard, so I'm just saying.
Yeah. Anyhow, like to have thanked you for tuning in and listening to the 7th Uncle Dak Show. From now on, we're going to be going bi-weekly. I don't know what that means for when we're going to be up on the show and how we're going to be published, because we had an issue these last couple of weeks that getting the show out that we thought it, but it didn't because of... Nah, we'll leave that alone. Anyhow. Yeah, that says it all. Yeah. see you next time.
Bye.